You're listening to NGSC Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, here in studio. And I got a man who officially today is defining playing hurt. Weasel Wiz!
Yeah, boy!
Coming into the studio. I don't know. Do you still have your crutches with you? I didn't even see when you walked in.
Nah. I just don't have an ACL anymore right now.
That's kind of sad. I feel like...
Yeah.
I feel like I need to buy it a housewarming gift because it left or something when you put it like that. So, please, trust me, fans, he's doing well. Good times all the way around. And I'll tell you this, he was watching games. He had crutches to watch games. He was ready to go playing hurt. NGSC Sports, folks, we never stop. It's that simple. Speaking of people who never stop, even at the fire station, being a local hero, Chris Rankin is ready to break down week 4. Hey, Chris, I got the correct week number, right?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Week 4.
I know that's a thing.
Correct.
I know for years that it's been something I got to be very careful about getting wrong, but I got it right here. And that's a good way to start a show. You know, guys, I want to bring this up real quick. I know it's technically college football, but everybody is a Twitter, if you will, about players using Twitter during halftime. I mean, I never even had my phone outside of the car when I played. But, Weasel, go ahead. No, do
so
it.
The players go into the locker room and go on Twitter?
Correct.
Well, there's always going to be some people, like you look up on the internet, you have the top 10 people who lost their job because of one post on Twitter. So someone's going to talk some trash, someone's going to say something stupid, and they're going to end up being cut.
Well, the particular instance that's getting the most attention is a Texas cornerback during the beatdown that the Texas Longhorns faced at the hand of TCU, Texas Christian University. All he did was retweet a hater suggesting that he transfer.
He didn't retweet it. You know, he didn't respond to it.
He did not reply. That's correct.
He was like, hint.
Retweet. I mean, you know, granted, you know, the game in question, the Texas Longhorns were smashed 50-7. But, you know, I've heard some personalities just go on absolute rants. ESPN, because, you know, they love drama. Oh, sorry. Wrong network.
It's more like, you know, we create drama.
Oh, shots fired. Weasel Weasel. Anyways. So, Chris, I mean, where do you stand on the whole player Twitter phenomena?
Yeah, they're going to do it. That's why technology is, man. People can't stay away from their phone. These kids these days, they have to have this phone with them at all times. They feel lost without their phone for like 5 minutes.
Let me tell you what concerns me, Chris. You just dropped to these kids these days. We're not that old, bruh, to be dropping to these kids these days.
You're talking about someone that's 15 years younger than us. Yeah, that's a kid.
Why I got to take it there? Why I got to be 15 years? Anyways, Weasel, go ahead so I can quickly.
I think we're all younger than Peyton Manning, though.
Moses is younger than Peyton Manning, okay? Anyways. Yeah, I mean, I get it, and I can't help but notice that some of the successful programs, your Alabamas, your FSUs, all ironically distant from the Twitter sphere. Their players don't do it. Coincidence that they were both playoff teams last year for the college football playoff? Perhaps not.
You never know.
You never
it
know.
It takes one attempt. To tweet something, it takes one thing. I don't know if the coaches initially talked to him about it, but it just takes one person to mess it up.
Yeah, that's legit.
I wouldn't put anything over Florida State.
And there were actually, I see what you did there.
Crab legs.
Wow. At any rate, there were a lot of single moments and single players that messed things up in the NFL Week 4 transition win. Ravens, Steelers, Weasel.
In Thursday night football, the Steelers at home lost a heartbreaker to their division rivals, the Ravens, 23-20 in overtime. Steelers quarterback Mike Vick started in place of the injured Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay, so I'm going to ask this now quickly, just so we can get this out of the way. Nobody on this panel thinks that Michael Vick was the reason the Steelers lost this game.
Nope.
That's devoted to all the Vick haters leading up to this game that thought he would be useless. Continue, Weasel.
On the Steelers' second drive, they managed to get a field goal. Yeah, very nice. Now, the Ravens did answer with a 12-play drive, ending with a 9-yard touchdown to wide receiver Michael Campanero.
Campanero, yeah. Actually, it's funny. They call it a run in the stats at first. It was pretty much a screen pass. But, yeah, I mean, I felt like that was a bunch of missed tackles more than anything else.
Yeah, it definitely happens.
Give Steve Smith credit for a block down the field, but there were two missed tackles previous, one of them in the backfield. Something out of nothing. Booyah.
So, there was a huge play that happened, and it was actually the big play that was a drop. One of the best wide receivers in the NFL, Steelers' Antonio Brown. He dropped a nicely thrown pass by Vic. It was about 36 yards away. He gets you had Antonio Brown getting to the left corner of the end zone.
Yep.
And Vic dropped it right past the cornerback, and it was a diving Antonio Brown. He was diving with dive with your hands together, kind of with a body, trying to trap it with your body because you're diving. And the cornerback didn't touch it, but it just went right through his hands, like right through his stomach.
I mean,
like just
right through his stomach. Right, that's that would have been
he did used to as a quarterback throw really, really hard, but now he's he dropped it right where it needed to be, and if Big Ben threw it, I bet he would have caught it.
Well, actually, someone actually made that joke, but I mean, the truth is that particular pass you're talking about, you're right that Vic put it in the one place that only Antonio Brown got it. I can't call this a drop.
It went right to his. It went right to him. Trap it.
Yeah, but he's diving. Something. I mean,
he's diving. He's how much is he getting paid?
Okay, well,
I think he's up to what is it, $10 million or
hold
so?
Hold up. Now, if you're going with the how much is he getting paid defense, that's the one thing you could sell me on. But that was not a simple catch.
Well,
you're making it sound like he's like I'm wide open. No.
If Darius Hayward Bay, everybody would have been making fun of it.
Well, that's because Darius Hayward Bay owes us a number of seasons of football.
Yeah. But still.
He actually had a touchdown.
Hayward Bay wouldn't have been in the position to make the catch anyway.
He's been all right the past couple weeks.
He's not really prone to dive, but so. He's been, it only took him three teams to do it, but he's doing all right with the Steelers. I think he's found the spot.
The thing is having an extra 36 yards and a touchdown would have been nicer because Brown just had 5 catches for 42 yards.
Mm-hmm. A lot of fantasy people said the same thing, not to mention one of the guys you retweeted, Lamont Brodus, the sportsologist, you know, the co-host of our man and friend of the show, Big TJ. Yeah.
Whenever you talk fantasy football, it's like for this play right here, if it's 36 yards, that's 3 points usually. In a PPR league, that's 1 point. And then you have the 6 points for a touchdown would be about 10 points. One play, 10 points, not there.
Not so much.
Anyways.
And he lost his game by 5. No, yeah, I'm joking. Well, I'm joking. Well. I mean, that could have happened. But I'm joking here. Anyways.
So the Steelers next took the drive to the 11-yard line where running back Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon.
He took a 2-yard loss to the left. Oops. And decided to bring it right back to the right. He went all the way to the other side of the field. And something that was very, very awesome was that you had Michael Vick.
Ah.
I guess he was on the right side of the field after the toss, you know, to get out of the way. And so he saw Le'Veon Bell coming back. So he ran up and... forgot the cornerback's name, but he ran up the field with Le'Veon, blocked a cornerback out of the play, and Le'Veon went right between for a touchdown.
Fantastic
so
block.
That's props for.
I think quarterbacks should get fantasy points for blocks.
Yeah, well, sometimes, but usually on a play like that, I think Vic was doing. He didn't do the usual like jump towards a player to block him like a little bit type thing. Vic stayed.
No, he was fully.
He was on his feet, stayed with him and stuff. Because
pretty good form.
Because sometimes quarterbacks do that. They like I think Favre, he's been guilty of like diving for someone's feet to trip him up or something like that.
Well,
but
that ended Trent Green's career, if you remember correctly, he tried to cut a 300-pounder that kneed him in the head.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's takes one play. But Bell finished with 22 rushes for 129 yards and a touchdown. So in the beginning of the third quarter, Flacco lost a fumble along the sideline.
And that's after an interception in the red zone, right?
I believe so.
Elite quarterback.
So what was pretty cool about this play was that the ball was going out of bounds. So you had you had, I think I put it in here.
I forget the corner's name.
Okay, yes,
yeah,
I got it.
This is the toe tap.
Steelers defensive back Ross Cockrell. He dove. The ball was going out of bounds. He dove and had the mind, the state of mind to actually tiptoe his feet. And he ended up getting a what it looked like to be out of bounds Ravens ball. They reviewed it and everything. And the thing was, is he tiptoed, bam, had the football in possession and got the Steelers the ball.
It was funny, like, and I'm not saying this to bash the Ravens, but it was funny watching the officials have to swallow that both feet were in with the toes and he had control through the process of the catch, quote.
Yeah.
Because that's how they treat a fumble, too. And I found it, first of all, I found it amazing that the refs overturned it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you mentioned presence of mind. That's only step one. His body's got to behave, which it did. I thought it was a great play, too, man, definitely.
I'm sure that officials kind of, I think they would look more towards to see if he held control throughout the whole play.
Correct.
So, but that did lead to a Darius Hayward Bay touchdown. And Vic did end up with 19 of 26, 124 yards, and a touchdown.
I mean,
so
that's
not too shabby.
That's what a game manager is supposed to do, and Vic's job was to manage the game. I mean, am I wrong there?
Yeah. No, he did good.
Hey, Chris, I got a question. Do you think Russell Wilson and the Seahawks would be doing better if Russell Wilson managed games as well as Vic did here?
Yeah, they'd be better, yeah. Okay. But, hey, I just want to point out the homerism of Weasel there talking about Le'Veon Bell's touchdown run, but doesn't talk about the choke slam that the fullback did.
I wondered when you were going to bring that up. There was a bit of a hold, but you see, here's my theory. There was a hold in the backfield by the fullback. That's true, Chris. But Vic threw such a good block, they cancel out.
They're like, hey, that was a good play. We're going to keep it on.
At least that's what Weasel's going with. Weasel weird.
Hey, yeah, boy. All right, so with the score at...
Dude, some WWE wrestlers wish they could do a move like that.
Ronda Rousey has done a move
like
that.
As a fullback, dude.
I think the refs have missed things other times before this game. So, but
what?
Yeah. And I've heard that there's holding on every single play.
Allegedly.
So.
At any rate.
So, score 20-14. The Ravens failed on a 33-yard fake field goal. I think they had a... I forgot the guy. He was a very quick, I think he was like a running back or like a wide receiver or so. And he did like a reverse on the fake field goal play, and the Steelers just snuffed it up. So,
Justin Forsett, Taliaferro, those are the two names.
Yeah, something like that. But
if you're sure it was a running back, it was one of those guys probably.
Yeah. So it was the Steelers, like the defender that made the tackle, he must have saw it coming because he was right in position to take it. One, Steve Smith Sr. He's been, you know, blowing up the NFL the past couple of weeks.
You mean and Hall of Fame caliber receiver, Steve Smith?
Hey, the senior did pretty well. But this game, too bad for him because he had, you know, four catches, 24 yards, but he left the game with four broken ribs.
Yeah.
So don't know what's going to go on with that.
I'm glad it was his ribs and not his, like his something with his knee or something.
I believe it was, yeah.
Because let's put it this way. We talked about Terrell Suggs possibly having played his last game as a Raven. I'm very glad to see that that's not the case with Steve Smith. I mean, you know, it's that simple. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, but I think if that guy can, you know, if he still has it, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
So the guy's going to be out, but I'm sure he'll be back.
Bingo.
So this game had one Steelers kicker, Josh Scobie. Actually traded, I think it was a 6th-round pick, to get Scobie from the Jaguars.
Yes.
So he did miss 2 out of 4 field goals, but just the timing of those two field goals, the Steelers weren't very happy with.
It's not just that he missed 2 more field goals; it's when he missed 2 more field goals.
So with 4 minutes remaining in the game, a 49er. It was the thing about a 49-yard field goal. It should be, you know, makeable for a kicker, but it's like kind of not in. Like impossible type thing. Well, he missed a 49-yarder, and 2 minutes later, what about missing? He may as well a 41-yarder. So, yeah.
So what you're trying to say is that 49-yarder, considering the way San Francisco's playing, was too much like a 49er.
Yeah, I was seeing that with the 49er yard field goal.
How I slammed my own team.
I see that.
I'm gonna cry now. Continue.
So, now when the game went into overtime. the Steelers elected to go for it on a on the Baltimore 33-yard line.
First of all, real quick, before you get into the play, did anyone have a problem with Tomlin going for that on fourth down?
It was, I think there was earlier in the game. I think it was like late fourth quarter or so, and they went for the four. They made the 49-yard field goal. They missed that. But the thing about this one, I think it would have been 48 yards or so, and going for it, it's like a 33-yard is still, I think, a 48-yarder or 49-yard field goal. It's still makeable.
Well, okay, so if it's on the 33, mm-hmm. that's a 50-yard field goal.
50-yard field goal.
So it's essentially the same kick that Scobie missed the first time.
It's close, yeah.
Okay. Anybody else got a problem with Tomlin going for it on fourth down here?
Well,
because I don't. Chris?
No, when you're in there, you have to make the decision to go. And, you know, you punt, you look like you don't want to do anything. So going for it shows that you want to win the game.
Well, and then on top of the fact, I mean, would you have had Scobie go for the field goal there? I wouldn't have.
I would have gone for it.
Yeah, okay.
I would have had him kick it again. Because the thing is, the guy has distance. And even though the other two missed 2 minutes apart, the thing is going for it on a fourth down and giving them, if you fail, what happens? You get the ball at the 33-yard line.
Well,
either way, you get the ball at the 33-yard line.
Yeah.
If the Ravens fail to stop them.
Yeah. Well,
but
the thing is, defense was doing really good too. But yeah, go ahead.
I would say it's a better chance. I mean, even the guy missed the two last ones. I think it's a better chance that they let him kick it because. It's fourth down. If it was at the 50-yard line or something like that, okay, maybe think about going for it there. But you still have a field goal to win the game. This was at about the third or fourth drive for both teams. So in this case,
a field goal
wins the game.
Yeah, because we were down the and I like what you said, that he has the leg, he has the distance. To be clear, Weasel, it's not the distance that I was worried about. It was the fact that it's not straight once it goes the distance that I'm worried about.
That's
silly jokes. Well, and I mean, see, here's the thing. It's not so much that they went for it on fourth. It was the play call they made, because I don't want to ruin, you know, your wrap up. It's the play call they made when they went for it on fourth down that second time that I didn't really enjoy. I'll put it that way.
Okay. I could see that. So, That gave the ball to the Ravens, and you had the Ravens kicker.
Justin Tucker. That bad mother, shut your mouth.
Yeah, he made a 52-yard field goal to win the game, so I think that Justin Tucker is going to keep his job, and and as for Josh Scobie, yeah, they cut him. So.
Not so much. Yeah.
Yeah, see you, dude.
So,
too bad.
I don't know. Hey, I'll put it this way. If you go for it on fourth, do you run a quarterback draw with Vic? At age 35? No. I'm just saying.
Well, I'll try to quickly track this down, but the Steelers earlier in the game, on a fourth down, they ended up doing a quarterback keeper, running to the left, having Vic run to the left to get 1 yard or 2 yards, and he got stuffed up. So
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So that one right there is like, that's an example of what could happen. So, but... I guess they didn't want to give him the chance that they can. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Tomlin wanted a reason to get rid of him, so he didn't give him a chance to redeem himself. They know that he's going to mess up maybe somewhere else, like in the next game or the game after that. So he elected not to give him a chance so he can cut him.
Okay, well, you keep that conspiracy theory.
Just like
there's a conspiracy theory out there that the Falcons are actually a decent football team. Boom! Segway!
Huh.
The Houston Texans took on the Atlanta Falcons, and the Texans were once again pummeled 48-21. Now, Brian Hoyer, he started the game, didn't last in the game. Or excuse me, Ryan Mallett started the game, didn't last in the game. Brian Hoyer comes in, throws two touchdowns, far better than Mallett's interception. Of course, by that point, too little too late in this domination. I mean... I would break this down, folks, but why? I have the two stats that matter. One, 4 turnovers to 0. Yeah, the 0 was on the Falcons' side. And J.J. Watt, He had his sack for the game. Boom. Only two stats that matter. Let's move on.
What do you got, Weasel? Let's see.
So, you know, I will ask this question, guys. Does anybody really take the Falcons seriously as a threat?
Well, I think when you think of that, the question is do you take one Devonta Freeman?
You sure?
Do you take... Hey, don't start with me.
Devonta Freeman.
Actually, do you take him seriously?
If he was a presidential candidate, Devonta Freeman, that would be
Devonta
great.
Freeman, yes.
I'm trying to say. So yeah. Devonta Freeman, look, he brings balance to the offense. He had a great... He's had great games the past 2 weeks running the football. But I feel like the Falcons have had games handed to them. Right, Chris? Giants fan? So...
Yeah, they do, but really, I mean, look at it again. 4 weeks, they're 4-0 right now. You think Dan Quinn's I know it's early, but you think he could be a coach of the year candidate right now, how he's turned this team around?
Are you crazy? Wow. Okay. If he's a coach of the year candidate, what about some of these other teams? But for example, how are you going to pick that over Todd Bowles with the Jets? Who took a team whose quarterback got punched in the face and it was an improvement and got them to the state they're in now?
They got a good defense.
I put a candidate. I didn't say he was going to win. I'm just saying a candidate.
Okay.
Which means Todd Bowles can be a candidate too. So I'm not saying I didn't say a start runner candidate. I just said a candidate.
Yeah. So I mean, it matters how they end, but one thing you got to remember is that with that offense, when you have a Devonta Freeman, and you have a guy named Julio Jones, and you have a Matt Ryan that's playing pretty good football. Yeah, that team, I mean, one thing is where their poor games played. 93 points allowed. That means the offense has got to, you know, show them up. You compare that to the Jets, they allowed 55, so solid defense.
That's a little bit of a difference.
But scored 95 points, though.
Yeah, well, so, I'll put it this way. If you look at the Jets' schedule... versus the Falcons schedule, then we'll talk, right?
Hey.
You know, that's what I mean. I want to see the Falcons actually play somebody. And, I mean, that's not going to happen this week. They're going to play the Skins.
Well, at the end of the year, we'll have a much better idea because I think the
Are
Falcons could be for real.
Are you playing the defense? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. But you're buying the Falcons. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying, you know, top five defense or top 10 defense or anything like that. No.
But you're saying top five offense?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, most definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Julio Jones, he was tearing it up the previous weeks, not this week when I needed him. But
maybe you should have traded him for Antonio Gates.
Yeah, well, got a counter trade offer, which is pretty bad. So, but anyways, moving on.
Yes, enough about this fantasy crap. Let's take him to something else that was fantastically crappy. Jets, Dolphins. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, you got Dolphins, Jets, London. One team showed up to play. The other was still sightseeing over there. I mean, I don't know about you. I like these London games, you know, because you get 9:30 in the morning start time here. So you get football literally all day long. And my wife doesn't like it, but I enjoy it.
That's a her problem. I mean, what? Hi, Jim.
Well, I mean, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, you can watch NFL football.
I'm kind of sometimes I wake up at noon or so.
I'm all for these London games. There's two more this year also. I mean, some of the competition over there might be not all that great, but I'm all for the London games just so you can watch football as a football fan. You can watch football all day long.
So basically what you're saying is why? Because football.
Exactly.
So yes, take us through this game, which was allegedly a football game.
Okay, yeah, the team that showed up was the Jets as they ran and threw all over the pitiful defense of the Dolphins to a 27-14 victory. The Jets defense shut down the Dolphins attack all day. Dolphins' first touchdown came off of two big penalties by the Jets. One of them was a pass interference on Darrelle Revis, which was 34 yards, and the very next play, safety Marcus Gilchrist was called for pass interference for 22 yards. And then, like, the next play, they scored an 8-yard touchdown pass.
Yard.
So, I mean, you had 56 yards on the one penalty. The Jets on the day had 14 penalties for 168 yards.
If you're going to talk about that touchdown, Chris, you could at least told us about who caught it.
Yeah, that was Stoneburner.
Jake Stoneburner. Yeah. Okay, continue.
I'm getting that jersey.
Yeah. See, while watching the highlights of this, man, I got caught out of breath because of how much Chris Ivory ran on the day. He had 166 yards and 29 carries, and the Jets had over 200 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
The Jets started off the first play of the game that Ryan Fitzpatrick hit Brandon Marshall for a 58-yard pass. Fitzpatrick was 16 for 29, 218 yards and a touchdown, but he also had an interception, but he also had 34 yards rushing the ball, which is surprising. Eric Decker had his touchdown catch, and he had 46 yards receiving. Dolphins, you know, as I said, they were pitiful on the day. They were 0 for 12 on third down, 0 for 4 on the fourth down, and their leading rusher was wide receiver Jarvis Landry with 29 yards.
Lamar Miller for the win.
Ryan Tannehill was 19 for 44, which is 43% for 198 yards, two touchdowns, but he also had two interceptions. Really, the only highlight for the Dolphins is Kenny Stills, their big pickup over the free agent or over the offseason. He had his first touchdown catch of the year for the Dolphins. He had five catches for 81 yards.
Yay!
Well, actually, that was the second. I'd say that was the second highlight of the day. The next one was that came today when the Dolphins fired Joe Philbin.
Okay, so apparently everybody went to London, but not everybody necessarily came back. Got it. Actually, in truth...
You know, I mean, if you look at the Joe Philbin record, I mean, right now, the Dolphins stats, I mean, originally I was thinking he should have been proactive when he got back and fired a coordinator or both coordinators because they're both pitiful this year. You have Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator, supposed to be this offensive genius that they got from, like, West Virginia or whatever. Their offense, Dolphins' offense is total 25th in the NFL, rushing their 29th, passing their 16th. In defense, their total is 29th, rushing their 32nd against the run, 32nd with Cameron Wake and Ndamukong Suh. Their passing is their 16th against the pass.
I sure hope the Dolphins didn't give Ndamukong Suh a huge contract. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, which player is the next one that had a big contract and then didn't do squat? Defensive player.
Oh, crap. I was going to say Mike Wallace.
He has been getting some awesome 5-yard touchdowns and stuff. It's great when he goes for over 10 yards.
More on that later. No, I'm missing who you're going after here, Chris.
Oliver Haynesworth.
Oh, no. He's making the Haynesworth comparison? Wow.
He's been everywhere, though.
Haynesworth was in Tennessee, and look what happened when he went to the Redskins.
Or rather, what not didn't happen. Okay.
I'm not comparing to it. I'm just looking at the big money contract that Haynesworth had because he had a huge contract. No one's had a defense player had that kind of contract, and he goes to the Skins and he doesn't even play.
I'm not comparing the two. I'm just bringing this guy up because he had a big contract at defensive tackle, just like Ndamukong Suh. Gotcha.
Right. That's it. So really, Joe Philbin fired. I mean, he was set to get fired from day one because realistically, he was the offense coordinator in Green Bay. He didn't even call the plays in Green Bay. Mike McCarthy called the plays.
But he was a really good cheerleader.
So, I mean, how do you be an offensive coordinator without calling the plays? You know, so he wasn't set up to succeed at the begin with anyway.
There you go. Okay.
So moving on to another positive note for the Jets, how good their defense is. It's even getting better this week as Sheldon Richardson returns from his suspension.
Oh, yeah, no, obviously that'll improve them dramatically. I mean, I don't need to break that down anymore. It's that simple. So, anyways, enough of that. Philbin's gone, replaced by interim head coach, tight end coach Dan Campbell, who says that it's up to him to change the culture in Miami.
Dan Campbell.
Personally, I still think I'm going to be embarrassed for sending the Dolphins to the playoffs. Just like Chris. At least you picked the Bills, bro. At least you picked the Bills. Speaking of the Bills.
Yeah, if you want to change the culture, you should just get rid of offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, too, and try to bring someone else in, too.
Well, maybe we'll have that for next Monday. Who knows? But speaking of, at least you picked the Bills for the playoffs, the Giants and the Bills. Chris.
Are in a battle of kind of Eastern New York versus Western New York, since the Giants are play their games in New Jersey.
Kind of Eastern. Okay, then.
You had the number one rushing attack in the NFL against the number two defense, and the Giants held the Bills to only 55 yards on the ground on their way to a 24-10 win over the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, no,
Giants
Buffalo.
Did not look back. Eli was 20 for 35, 212 with three touchdowns and an INT. For the Bills, penalties cost them a few plays. They had 17 penalties for 135 yards, one in which it brought back a 35-yard Tyrod Taylor touchdown run. Taylor, you know, it's weak, even weak. He's mediocre. He's 28 for 42 for 274 yards with a touchdown and interception. Charles Clay, tight end Charles Clay, led all receivers with 111 yards on nine catches. Robert Woods had the ball taken away from him in the fourth quarter to seal the Giants' victory.
Yeah, Charles.
Difference in the game really is Reds. What was that?
Charles Clay would have had more yards and a touchdown, except one got called back on one of the aforementioned penalties. Just saying.
Yeah, correct. So then, the really difference in the game, red zone, Giants were 1-for-2. The Bills were 0-for-3.
Ouch.
But then also, Rashad Jennings had 38 yards on the ground. But he also added a 51-yard touchdown reception where he broke three tackles. And the Demaryius Thomas stiff arm from a few years ago in the playoffs made that one look like a middle schooler doing it as he stiffed arm the safety even going into the end zone. If you haven't seen that stiff arm, you need to go look that stiff arm up, man. That's like stiff arm 101 right there, how to stiff arm a guy.
Step one.
Stiff arm or shove them out of bounds.
Step one, make your arm stiff. Step two, hit the guy right in the face. Got it.
Yeah, and also we have a new Wall of Shame inductee, Giants kicker Josh Brown missed an extra point.
Uh-oh.
And what's the count?
He would make number the 12th one of the year, 11th kicker. And
got to do the official Hall of Shame music. So that leads us up to how many? I've lost count. I know you just said it.
He is the 11th kicker. He is the 11th kicker, but the 12th missed extra point. And there's actually one more kicker that missed an extra point later on in some of the games. And also, I need a ruling on this one. Bills kicker Dan Carpenter, he missed a 30-yard field goal, which is 1 yard shorter than an extra point.
So what is the count for this year on all extra points, and how do you compare that to last year?
So he said it was 12 kicks from extra points missed by 11 kickers, which means we're about three times as many as all of 2014.
Now they had eight total last year.
Eight total
extra points last year.
Okay, so
now they're up to 12 for the whole NFL.
Sweet.
So there's 12 for the whole NFL. Well, there's more to come in later games.
Well, what week would y'all call for the missed extra point to either that would have either tied the game or won the game? When is that going to happen?
That's a hell of a pop quiz. I'm gonna go mid-season mark. I'm gonna call week 8, Chris.
Well, I technically think it happened in the Jags Skins game. When the Jags kicker missed the extra point to make it 10-10 at the end of half, and then he missed that was right at the half. So I think that changed the outcome of the game. And they lost 16-9 or whatever it was, 19-9 or whatever the score was.
Well, okay, I think Weasel's going for a fourth quarter crucial da-da-da fail, but okay. So Chris says it's already happened. So
I'd say probably like week 11.
Huh. And Weasel. A little bit later. I'm thinking it's going to be. I'll take like a week 7.
Oh, he's a pessimist compared to me. There you go. Anyways, there's plenty to be pessimistic about. if you're a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, the Panthers trounced the Buccaneers 37-23. Now, here's the thing. Based on that score, it makes it kind of seem like the Bucs may have actually had an opportunity if, you know, Jameis Winston didn't open another game with a pick six. 4 interceptions on the day, 5 turnovers by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, there were some good performers here. You got Ted Ginn, if I don't mention Ted Ginn, Weasel will throw something at me, who had 2 touchdowns. That's good for your fantasy team. If you had Vincent Jackson, he had 10 catches for 147 yards and a touchdown. That's good for your fantasy team. And Doug Martin, who's not Lamar Miller. Like, if you're in a fantasy league, maybe you should get rid of Lamar Miller for Doug Martin. 20 carries for 106 yards and a touchdown. Strangely relevant, huh, Weasel?
It's pretty relevant.
It's like your fantasy team or something. Oh, wait. Cam Newton didn't necessarily have a great day passing, but did enough. 11 for 22, 124 with 2 touchdowns on the day. The Panthers are also 4-0. So, Weasel, I suppose you're more impressed with the Falcons at 4-0 than you are the Panthers at 4-0. Just throwing it out there.
Okay. I think the Falcons won. I think they're going to be a lot more solid throughout the season.
Interesting.
So, Panthers.
Even though they don't have Julio Jones and Devontae Freedom. I'm not making fun of you because I'm being mean. That's an awesome name. Do you understand that?
That's what I was going for too.
and you know, you know what makes 4-0 impressive by the Panthers? Cam bleeping Newton. That's what. All right. I don't want to hear about Russell Wilson. Give me Cam Newton every single day.
I'll just say
every
that
single day.
One Ted Ginn Jr. He played for the Cardinals last year. I think 16 games. He didn't start a game. 14 receptions, 190 yards, a long of 27, and 0 touchdowns. Already 4 games into the season with the Panthers, 12 receptions, 206 yards, 17.2 average with 3 touchdowns.
2 of them in this game.
So,
I think that's better.
That's one of my comeback candidates.
Ted Ginn Jr. is a comeback player of the year candidate. I won't front. It's still early, but I won't front.
Hey, Funchess is out, right? The big wide receiver.
He's either out or hasn't done anything.
But let's just say Ted Ginn right now is the number one wide receiver with Greg Olsen. He's the number two behind Greg. Yeah, he's a tight end. But he's the number two receiver for the Panthers.
So be careful there. I know that their Patriots' best receiver is also a tight end, but let's not go crazy. Speaking of craziness. You know what I have to tell?
Hey, real quick, the Bucks and everything. Yep. Where's your other wall of shame with the Bucks kicker?
Uh oh. Oh yeah, I forgot about this. I gotta get the dang music. Here we go. What's his first name? Matt Brizna. Brizna. That one that Weasel had trouble with last.
Brizna. He had one missed extra point and 2 missed field goals, and he's out of a job today.
So, not a good week for Mr. Brizna. Brizna. That's just funny sounding.
He was just cut a little bit ago.
So, the good news on that, Weasel, you don't ever have to say his name again. There you go. Okay, Weasel's good. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the next game. I forgot what my segue was because we stopped to talk about kickers. But the Chiefs played against...
Hey, man, I got to bring up the wall of shame, man.
There's, like, more coming, too.
Yeah. Be patient.
It's bad.
There's plenty more kicker talk this week, no doubt. But the Kansas City Chiefs were hosted by the Cincinnati Bengals, and Weasel has been kept awake at night knowing that Andy Dalton is 4-0. The Bengals topple the Chiefs 36-21. Alex Smith had his career best game in yardage at 386.
Boom.
But still scored 0 touchdowns. WTF, he says.
That's a lot of yardage, though.
That is a lot of yardage. You know what his red zone percentage was? 0-for-3. That's not a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah.
By the way, the Cincinnati Bengals at 4-4 in the red zone have marked quite a decline in the Kansas City Chiefs defense. And, yeah, 321 yards for Andy Dalton. He threw 1 touchdown. Giovanni Bernard had a touchdown. But there's this guy who had been missing previously, one Jeremy Hill. remembered what a football looked like. Sure, 9 carries for 40 yards, not a lot, but 3 touchdowns on the day. 7 field goals by 1. Carlos Santos. Santos.
Plural.
Yeah, correct. As in more than one. Which there was more than one. There was 7. If Santa brings you field goals. But field goals shouldn't be brought. It should be touchdowns. Which means that Alex Smith is not Santa Claus. Boom. Flawless logic. I came up with all that right then. You can tell, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, we can tell, Kyle. Now shut up. Anyways, the Bengals currently leading the AFC North. And Weasel just doesn't know what to do about that. Neither do a lot of other people who hate on Andy Dalton.
I have Andy Dalton on both of my fantasy teams, okay? The thing is, I don't have a problem with him. I'm just so happy that the playoffs the playoffs for fantasy football takes on through about week 14 till about week 17. So, or usually week 16 or so.
So during the regular season, it's a fantasy, and you don't have to deal with them when it becomes a nightmare. Got it.
Ah,
so you like that?
Okay, that one's better than the other one.
Speaking of things that could be argued as nightmares, the San Francisco 49er offense. The Green Bay Packers, not a high-scoring game as it's 20 total points, but the Packers still win far more decisively than a 14-point lead, 17-3. You got to give the 49ers credit only giving up 17 points to this Green Bay Packer offense. But managing only 3, I'm going to slide that snugly into the bad things category. And when you break this down a little bit more, it gets a bit worse. 0 for 2 in the red zone were the 49ers versus 2 and 4 by the Green Bay Packers. In the air total, Colin Kaepernick had 13 for 25 with 160 yards with an interception. Thing is, 2 passes on the day combined for 87 yards, which means he had more than half his yardage on just 2 passes. Yeah, not exactly consistent. Kaepernick also led rushing among the 49ers with 10 for 57. Carlos Hyde, not a factor in the game. Eddie Lacy, points for Weasel, but no touchdowns as John Kood carried in the 1-yarder. 18 for 90 was Lacy.
Not a touchdown stealer.
And a touchdown stealer, exactly. And 6 sacks of Colin Kaepernick on the day. Versus 3 of Aaron Rodgers. Clay Matthews, the linebacker for the Packers, made a comment that Colin Kaepernick wasn't he's in something along the lines of...
One Clay Matthews
said,
"You ain't Russell Wilson, bro."
Yeah, you're right. And he's right. Colin Kaepernick isn't Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson only knocked Clay Matthews out of the playoffs once. Oh, Clay Matthews was just bitter that he didn't have to go out of bounds to hit Colin Kaepernick this time.
Hmm.
Think before you talk, long-haired man. I don't care how beautiful your hair is. He's funny because he's got long blonde hair. Anyways. With that, Chris, take us to the last game before the break here. Eagles, Skins.
In NFC East showdown, the Redskins came from behind and Kirk Cousins threw a touchdown pass to Pierre Garçon with less than a minute to play to go up 23-20. Redskins defense would hold on, and the Redskins improved 2-2, while the Eagles fall to the gutter in the NFC East with a 1-3 record. This high-powered Chip Kelly offense is not that high-powered right now. Normally, we're used to Chip Kelly's offense, the high-powered, when Oregon, they didn't need much time to put up points. Difference here they have is Sam Bradford, a quarterback, and this game they had less than 19 minutes of possession time. Bradford's numbers weren't too bad. I mean, he was 16 for 28, 270 yards with 3 touchdowns. Kirk Cousins from Skins was 31 for 46 for 290, and his only touchdown pass was the one that he threw to Pierre Garçon. Garçon ended it with 55 yards receiving.
Uh-huh.
Cousins did also have a 1-yard touchdown run. But Philly fans are putting up a missing person sign on the milk carton as their top free agent signee, who led the league in rushing yards last season, DeMarco Murray, only at 36 yards on the ground.
Oh, but haven't you heard, Chris? It's because he doesn't get the ball enough. Wah, wah.
Hey, Ryan Matthews, another running back for the Eagles, he lost the fumble. And hey, Weasel, how's your Matt Jones pickup doing in fantasy football?
Dude, he went, like, the following week, he went to the waiver wire.
I'm going to say that means bad.
Yeah.
He had 7 carries for 11 yards, and Alfred Morris had 62 yards on the ground.
The thing is, you got to – fantasy football does that. You have a guy like Matt Jones there. It was like, oh, he had an awesome game. I'm going to pick him up. And then
– wah, wah.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have a guy like Devonta Freeman who blows it up like week one and then two, then does good in week three and keeps it up in week four. So it's a lot of times it's a crapshoot.
Hey, Chris, who caught the game-winning touchdown again?
Pierre Garçon.
There you go. You got it that time. All right.
Yeah. So, you know, can you do me a favor, Chris? And I know you're a Giants fan, but when it comes to anybody in the East, stop talking about falling in the gutter, because right now, as far as we're concerned, I think you'll agree that all four teams right now are pretty much in the gutter.
Yeah, but they're the furthest ones in the gutter.
Okay, I'll allow it. The deepest in the gutter. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Riley Cooper for the Eagles had a touchdown catch for 72 yards receiving, and rookie Nelson Aguilar had 64 yards receiving, but he lost the fumble on a double reverse.
Never mind. I won't even touch that.
Difference in the game, like I said, time of possession, 18 minutes and 52 seconds for the Eagles, 41:08 for the Skins. Third down, 33% for the Eagles. The Skins were over 50% and 9 for 17. But really, with this non-high-powered offense, you know, they're barely putting up 20 points. You know, usually Chip Kelly's offense, you know, you're looking at, even in the preseason, they look pretty good putting up all those points, you know. What can they do about scoring? I mean, really, that's what their main thing is.
Well, see, here's the thing. You got Bradford. He threw 3 touchdowns. But the Eagles as a team only have 46 plays total on offense. That's as many times as Kirk Cousins threw the ball. For my money, the defense has to shoulder some of that. I mean, I get it. You know, the Eagles offense, when they fail, they go 3 and out really fast because Chip Kelly. Fine. But at some point, you got to stop someone, too. I don't know. Of course, you do need more consistency in the offense. The run game needs to be better. I mean, you can't put it on the passing game right now. I mean, Bradford had 3 touchdowns, and he still looked confused. So I would put it on the running game and the defense, the two elements of football that all three of us, I believe, would call absolutely essential to any team's success. Another thing that might seem essential to a team's success is their quarterback. And we'll explore which team had to go without their starting quarterback after the break. That's right, I did it. You're listening to NGSC Sports. This is Student of the Game. You're listening to NGSC Sports Radio. Hear us live on NGSCSports.com, where you can get awesome analysis for all things sport. Or check out our podcasts on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, iTunes, TuneIn, and much more. For our latest videos, head to NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at NGSC Sports and like us on Facebook. NGSC Sports, we never stop. See, I know that Weasel is the hip-hop in this show, but he was headbanging a bit when we dropped the Coheed. Can't front on that. Weasel Weez!
Yeah, boy!
That's right. During Coheed and Cambria, he said, yeah, boy. It doesn't have to be hip-hop. Weasel's versatile. I promise, Chris, one time I'm going to do 7 Dust. I just keep looking at my... I was looking at my thing, and I'm like, I don't have any 7 Dust in my iTunes. What's wrong with me? Anyways. Chris is like, you better. So, okay, man, let's get to it. There was a game where a team was missing their starting quarterback. And let's put it this way. Indianapolis may not have had Andrew, but one could argue they had plenty of luck. Chris.
The comeback kids were at it again, this time without Andrew Luck, but with Matt Hasselbeck as they kicked a late fourth quarter field goal to tie the Jags at 13. Was anyone else worried about this game before Study Hall picked the Colts when they found out that Luck was out?
Well, I was, and I'll tell you this for a fact. In the matchup mania that I posted Tuesday night last week, I actually had a YouTube video of Admiral Akbar from Star Wars going, "It's a trap!" And then 3 or 4 days later, like, actually, I think it might have been even on Saturday night or Sunday morning that I found out that Luck was out. So, yeah, I felt like I kind of jinxed myself by putting Admiral Akbar on that post. Just saying. Wait.
I saw it freaking out when I saw Friday at a bar. I'm like, holy crap, he's out? Oh, man. Yeah. I'll take the Jets.
And see, I have to apologize. I did that wrong. Like, when I put Admiral Akbar in there and he was all like, "It's a trap." See, I had, here you go. I had the sound bite, but I don't know why I didn't use it. Anyways, Chris, the game, please.
Okay. So Blake Bortles led his team down the field for a game-winning field goal at the end of regulation, but the kicker Jason Myers missed a 53-yard field goal wide right. But wait, Chuck Pagano called a timeout to ice the kicker. Yeah, well, at this point, I'm like, oh, he's got to make this now. You know, I don't know why they always try to ice the kicker. I say this all the time. Kicker has to run out there. Play clock's already running by the time they decide they want to kick. So, I mean, he goes out there, his adrenaline's rushing. And they said, oh, let's call a timeout, let him relax, take his time. Well, Myers gets the second chance, and once again, he missed it wide right. So now we go into overtime. After both teams punt the ball, Bortles got his team in the field goal range again when Jason Myers would miss a game-winning 48-yard field goal, this time wide left.
Weasel.
So if you ice a kicker and he misses it, and then you kind of like ice him again, would that be like, and he misses it, is that like frostbite?
If you could call two timeouts in a row, which you're not allowed to.
But you called the one, though.
He called the one.
To ice him, but that didn't work. So if you ice him again, because he already kicked.
Well, no, technically speaking, the icing
already occurred.
The icing already occurred, and it failed because he missed it. But if icing works, then is the kicker frostbitten? I'll allow it. Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Let's see.
I don't feel like this guy was frostbitten. I thought he just missed these. Whatever.
Does he still have a job? It's too real.
I shouldn't laugh.
Yeah, it's too real.
Anyways, go ahead, Chris.
As of right now, yes, he does. He is 7 for 10 for field goals for the year, and he's 5 for 6 in extra points. He's already on the wall of shame.
That's right. Well, he's dancing with the devil in the pale moonlight on that one. By the way, that's some Tim Burton Batman schmack. Boom. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, Hasselbeck, who's the oldest non-kicker in the league, took the ball over, and he found Kobe Flinner down the right sideline. And then the very next play, Frank Gore broke off a 22-yard run to the Jags 7. All they did was they sent in Adam Vinatieri, and he kicked a 27-yard field goal to win 16-13. And the Colts once again struggled and pulled out a late victory.
Against the epic Jacksonville Jaguar. Okay, maybe not.
Bortles once again did not turn the ball over. It was 28 for 50. He threw the ball 50 times for 298 yards with a touchdown, and he had 31 yards on the ground. Couldn't ask him for anything else more. Right. He put his team in position to win the game twice, and it ends up being a kicker.
Yeah.
Every time I think of this, I think of the Peyton Manning with the stupid kicker with Vander Jack. When you're saying you get one job to kick the field goal, and you can't even do that.
Well,
remember that back in the early 2000s?
What was it? The drunk idiot kickers. Yeah, I forget what he said, but yeah, I remember that. So, but you mentioned Bortles throwing the ball.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm thinking about right this. I'm like, Bortles, he put his team in the winning game and a kicker ruined it. Just damn kicker.
Hey, you mentioned Bortles threw the ball 50 times. I believe that's the most in his career.
Correct. Hasselbeck was a little better percentage. He was 30 for 47 with 282 yards and a touchdown. Rookie TJ Yeldon had 105 yards on 22 carries, and Frank Gore had 53 yards on the ground, but he lost the fumble again 2 weeks in a row in the red zone. Allen Hurns led all receivers with 11 catches, 116 yards. Allen Robinson had 80 receiving yards for the Jags. Kobe Flinner had 9 catches for 83 yards with a touchdown for the Colts. Difference in the game really was the turnovers, 2 for the Colts, is why the Jags stay in it. especially with the one that they turned over in the red zone. And then Andre Johnson, you know, he's another missing in action person. He had zero catches on two targets.
Oh, that's who that was on the back of Veronica's milk the other day. Okay. I couldn't because it was a blue uniform. Oh wait, he had a blue uniform in Houston too. Darn it. I have no excuse. I should have known who that was. Anyways. So yeah, the Colts barely alive somehow. I pop quiz, gentlemen. Worst division, the NFC least or the AFC South? Weasel.
I say the South.
Chris.
I right now I have to say the AFC South.
Yeah, that's unanimous. Okay.
Just because, you know, the Giants, they can win. They could beat a big team. Well, and the Redskins, I mean, I think people's expectations, where they were putting them at the beginning of the season, they're actually doing a little bit better than that. And so, but yeah, Jacksonville is just Houston. You got, like, you know.
Yeah, the Cowboys are, check that. The Giants had double-digit leads going into the final quarter of all their games, and the Cowboys at least have the excuse of injury. The AFC South, they just kind of suck. Moving on, speaking of teams that just kind of suck, or so we thought, the Raiders and the Bears. Weasel.
The return of Bears quarterback Jay Cutler helped the Bears to avoid going 0-4 as the Bears beat the Raiders.
Hey, Weasel, you want to know the main reason for that? It's because he's not Jimmy Clausen. Moving on.
Yeah. I was expecting Clausen to start, so I picked up the Raiders' defense. Yeah, it worked a little bit, but what can you do? So, Cutler and the Bears started well with a 7-yard touchdown reception to Eddie Royal. They're still without one Alshon Jeffrey, so when he gets back, that'll be that'll be good for him. So, on that, the thing about that is that on that extra point, it was blocked. So, just to make sure, are we counting blocked extra points as missed extra points? For against a kicker,
I'm gonna leave that to the keeper of the list. Do blocked extra points count on the Hall of Shame?
Yeah, that's a tough one because it is back 30 yards. If it was still at 10 and it was blocked, I'd say yeah, because really you only need to take one step. Even from 30 yards, you only need to take one step and go. It should be a quick release. You don't need to put that much power into it. No, you just need to get the ball up. With it, no, we're not putting those easy blocked field goals in, so maybe not.
I had my mouse over the dang I'm the Man song ready to go, too.
Well, Cutler did finish 28 of 43, 281 yards, two touchdowns, and one INT. So after that, punts went back and forth to the beginning of the second quarter, where you got Raiders quarterback Derek Carr through a 26-4. Yeah, he's not doing that bad. 26-yard touchdown, and Carr finished 20 of 33, 196 yards, two touchdowns, one INT. And Cutler, you know, he had an INT, but he did have to help him out. Running back Matt Forte, 22 attempts for 91 yards. Running back
Latavius Murray, close enough.
He had a 16 of 49.
By the way, real quick, anybody noticed that there's been rumors that the Bears are actually shopping one Matt Forte?
Yeah, he's doing everything this year. It's like, because Matt Forte, I think, what is he at? Was he like 32 or so, right?
Mm-mm. He's about to turn 30.
Wow. Because he holds that offense together. Kind of keeps it a balance, because the thing that's special about him is that he can make catches out of the backfield, too.
I see what you did there.
So,
boom.
Now field goals in this game, they were huge for both teams. But they were huge in a good way. Unlike pretty much every other game we talked about.
They actually made theirs in this game.
Robbie Gould was 3 of 3, while you had Sebastian Janikowski 2 of 2.
I kick ball far.
So with about 2:10 remaining, Janikowski made a 41-yard field goal to put them up 20-19.
So he kicked the ball far.
Yeah, he kicked. Well, it wasn't too far. The Bears then, they took it to the 32-yard line as Robbie Gould made the 49-yard field goal to win the game.
Boom. Look, let's put it this way. That was supposed to be one that was a gimme for the Raiders. Personally, I feel like they were looking past the Bears to the Broncos. I don't know. But, yeah, there you go. They made field goals. And there's the story of your game for that one. Anyways, the next game on the list that was closer than it should have been, Browns, Chargers, Weasel.
The Chargers held off the visiting Browns 30-27. The Chargers scored first with a 36-yard field goal, and the Chargers later answered with a 28-yard touchdown to Keenan Allen. So pretty much most of this game was going back and forth. You got Josh
this
McCown.
This is football, not tennis.
Josh McCown, 32-41, 256 yards, two touchdowns without an INT. Rivers was 23-38, 358 yards, three touchdowns, no INTs. The rushing game for the Browns, it was it was all right. You got Isaac Crowell. Isaac Crowell, 12.
Isaiah Crowell. My bad. Thank you, Chris.
Isaiah, yes. I was actually thinking it was the other one. 12 of 63, one Danny Woodhead, 8 for 54. Yeah. And the rookie, Melvin Gordon, added 12 of 38. So now with about 2:13 remaining, the Browns had a one-yard touchdown to tight end Gary Barnridge. I think that guy's getting some attention this year. So
it's not as good as name is Stoneburner.
Stoneburner. Now, they were successful on their two-point conversion, and the Chargers then, they took with 2:09 left in the game, they made their 34-yard field goal as time expired.
More made field goals.
And something that should, logically, Antonio Gates, the tight end, he's a little up there in age, but I just had last year 12 touchdowns.
Okay, we've been over this. Moses, all right?
Yeah.
Moving on.
So the Chargers are going to get a boost, definitely a boost with that, because he'll definitely help out with their red zone.
Yeah, well, I mean, the other tight end, is it Ladarius Green? I believe is his first name, Ladarius? What was that, Chris?
Ladarius Green.
Okay. He's been doing the job in the meantime, and it would be interesting to see if they come out in some ace packages with the two of them doing some damage. I'll put it this way. The Browns had a chance to win this football game, and all the people out there trying to tell me that Mangels should start can now stop telling me that. All right? I think, Weasel, am I wrong to think that Josh McCown did his job in this game?
Hey, the guy did his job. It's like, if you want to... I don't think the Browns are gonna. I don't think they're gonna make the playoffs, and it's good. It's good to, you know, you win games. You get like a 7-9 record. You improve to like an 8-8 record. But at the end of the day, you're still gonna miss the playoffs, and you're gonna have no idea what you need to do for the quarterback position.
Well, obviously you're gonna draft another one.
People are saying, should you? I guess for the Browns, should you draft another quarterback in the first round at pick number 22? Their last three quarterbacks.
I see what you did there.
It's really weird because for those years, the past years, the Browns have picked, I think it was Manziel, it was Brandon Whedon, and Brady Quinn.
Yes. Wasn't Colt McCoy after Brady
Colt
Quinn?
McCoy, he was like a third or fourth round pick.
Okay.
But it was weird. They traded all the way up to 22 on each pick. So my view, I know it's different than yours, but it's good to start. I think it was good. It would have been better to start signing Manziel, so you know what you're getting from him, because right now you're not 100%.
True. I'll ask one question. If Johnny Manziel throws this ball 41 times, do the Browns only lose by 3 points to the Chargers?
Would they have had to throw it? Well, I think what would happen with Johnny Manziel is if he threw it 41 times, I think about he would complete about 10 or 15. But
two of them would be really long passes.
They would be two really long passes, yeah. But it's just the kind of thing that Manziel, he'll like, you know, throw you a lot of crap, and once it gets to, you know, gets to that time, him and one Travis Benjamin. Two touchdowns in that long touchdowns in that and two games a game.
The Titans.
Well,
the bleeping Titans.
Hey, I actually like interested in watching the Titans because, you know, they got former Steelers coordinator Dick LeBeau. So how that defense is going?
Marcus Mariota. There, are you happy now?
Mariota, nicely done. So He was on a bye week.
By the way, thank you for setting up Mariota, even though the Titans have a bye. That was cool. Anyways, another game that was actually far more important than the Browns and the Chargers would be the Rams and the Cardinals. Now, the Cardinals, unbeaten going into this game, let's put it this way. The Rams seem to always turn it on when playing against one of their divisional rivals. This game was not only no different, but they actually won the football game 24-22. Tyrann Mathieu said in a presser that the Cardinals beat themselves, and when you look at the fact that they had three turnovers, including a fumbling of the opening kickoff, he might have had a point there. It led to points early on for the Rams. Nick Foles had three touchdowns on the day, going 16 for 24. But that's not the story of the Rams' offense. The late-arriving second game of his career, Georgia's own Todd Gurley, the rookie, 19 carries for 146 yards, providing balance to a Rams offense that didn't previously exist. Weasel.
And you can make a note that the defense he was facing...
Let's do it.
the defense that he was facing, the Cardinals, they're actually pretty good.
Yes.
So, putting up 146 on them, not bad.
Well, which is why I was careful to mention balance in the offense
and
being what staggered this defense.
The thing about it was that, like, on my fantasy football team, I had him drafted, and I think it was like 10th, like 11th or 12th round or something, and held on to him until this week. I don't know. The guy, he's a...
What'd you do with him?
What's that?
What'd you do?
I kept him on the bench.
That's okay.
Kept him on the bench.
At least you didn't cut him, because then that's points someone else didn't get. So I'm all right with that.
It didn't look good when he got, what was it, like last week? He had a couple carries, what, 8 yards or
not
something?
Not a good look.
But yeah, held on to him, and he does seem like one of those special talents.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are giving him Adrian Peterson-level hype, but he's certainly not breaking out of the gate as fast as Adrian Peterson. A couple other ways the Cardinals shot themselves in the foot this game. An interception by Carson Palmer down the field to Janoris Jenkins. And, of course, Larry Fitzgerald, who once again led his team in receptions with 99 yards, 7 catches, fumbled the football. A rare sighting indeed. Tavon Austin finally appearing in a game. 6 catches, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Stedman Bailey in support with a touchdown of his own. The Cardinals' offense seems to be balanced enough. Palmer threw 392 yards and a touchdown along with that interception. And Chris Johnson had 16 carries for 83 yards. But turnovers, gentlemen, turnovers. By the way, the red zone, the Cardinals were 1 for 5. Any one of those converts to a touchdown, that score is 26-24 Cardinals, essentially. I'm just saying. Another game, we weren't sure the status of Drew Brees going into the Cowboys and Saints game. But Drew Brees took the field. Apparently, the Cowboys defense did not. Brees going 33 for 41 overall on the night led to the overtime victory, 26-20 over the Dallas Cowboys. It's not Brandon Whedon's fault, folks. 16 completions for 26 attempts, 246 yards, and a touchdown. 0 turnovers allowed in the football game. On the ground total, the Cowboys were 28 for 116 running the football with a touchdown. Lance Dunbar left the game early. He will be out for the year. A big blow to the passing game when you think about it, because last week he went 10 catches for 100 yards against the Atlanta Falcons. The one thing you might knock on Brandon Whedon's game, if you had to find something, the offense only converted 3 of 12 on third down. Kind of a factor there. And then while the Saints kicker may have missed a field goal, it didn't matter. First play of overtime, the New Orleans Saints take advantage of the fact that Sean Lee left the game early with a concussion. Picked on a rookie, C.J. Spiller, slipping to the outside. Easy pass for Drew Brees to make. He goes 80 yards. That accounted for more than his lion's share of the 99 receiver yards C.J. Spiller had on the night. And give props to the Saints, who still had a balanced offense as well. 25 carries, 103 yards. So by my count, that's 462 yards of total offense allowed by the Cowboys. You cannot blame Brandon Whedon when the defense is giving up that kind of cheddar. Right?
Word.
Can't front on that. You know what else I can't front on? this game. I was actually paying a lot more attention to it than people might have thought. The Broncos and the Vikings, very close game, Weasel.
The Broncos at home defeated the Minnesota Vikings 23-20. In the longest run of this season, Broncos running back Ronnie Hillman, he's pretty fast, I'm just saying.
He's kind of fast.
Yeah, he took a pitch to the left and ran it 72 yards for a touchdown. Once he got it back, once he got past the last defender, it was like he was gone. So
okay, then. Bye-bye now.
Yeah. He finished with 11 rushes for 103 yards and a touchdown.
What was that, Chris?
I said usually when you get past the last defender, you're gone.
Yeah.
I see what he did there.
Yeah. Usually, but yeah, this guy's a burner. So that was in the second quarter and put the Broncos up 10-0. Now, with only 32 seconds remaining in the half, Vikings second-year linebacker Anthony Barr intercepted a Peyton Manning pass, returned it to the 32-yard line, 32 yards to the 27-yard line of the Broncos. 2 plays later, Teddy Bridgewater threw a 4-yard touchdown to new wide receiver Mike Wallace. Yes, that was for only 4 yards.
Deep threat.
He's got a couple touchdowns this season. At least he's getting something, because if Mike Wallace, when he's not happy, I don't think he produces better. So, you have Manning's longest pass was in the third quarter. It was a 43-yarder to one Emmanuel Sanders. That led to a tight end Owen Daniels catching a 1-yard touchdown on a fourth and goal. Manning finished 17 of 27, 213 yards, one touchdown, and two INTs. Vikings running back Adrian Peterson, he had at first it was kind of like an average night rushing. until he broke loose with a 48-yard touchdown on a fourth and one. Now, early in the fourth quarter.
Here's what I'll say for your average night. If you take that off the board, he's 15 for 33. That is a below average night.
Yeah, okay. That's,
and then that home run made it all back.
Yeah. It was the thing about that, it was kind of funny because the Broncos loaded everybody up front to stuff Peterson.
Right.
And I mean, they had one safety back back there. And it just, I guess the Vikings just opened up the holes so that Adrian can go right through, and he was gone.
They stuffed the box and opened up the holes, and then they scored.
Yeah. Boom.
Basically, when it came to that defense, it just doesn't matter. Gotcha.
So towards the mid-fourth quarter, Viking safety Harrison Smith intercepted an overthrown pass to one wide receiver, Demaryius Thomas. So you got Vikings rookie wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Pretty good. He's a surprise for the Vikings this season. Led all receivers with 6 catches for 87 yards, including a 25-yard pass from one Teddy Bridgewater. Now that led to a field goal with 5:16 remaining to tie the score at 20-all. The Broncos got a field goal with only 1:54 remaining. Bridgewater drove the Vikings up to the 47-yard line. Do y'all see this play? The fumble. Anybody?
What? You're talking about the one that won the one that essentially ended the game?
Yeah.
I felt like that was one of several times that the right side of the Vikings line collapsed.
Well, the one thing that I think was the Broncos, I think they made like a risky call. Because okay. What they did was they had their strong safety. It was one T.J. Ward.
T.J. Ward, that's right.
So he was lined up, I guess, in the slot position around there, and he blitzed. So one thing I'm wondering back, though, is that you have a linebacker that was started, I guess, around the middle linebacker position. He went to the left, around to the side, and he passed by the Vikings right tackle. You have the corner blitzing T.J. Ward. And one thing I'm wondering is that Adrian Peterson pretty much was right in the path of T.J. Ward coming in. And he just sat there a little bit, and he just ran to get a wheel route type of thing. Didn't even touch him.
So what you're trying to say is he olayed his block.
Well, no. Was that his block to make, though?
I don't know. I don't know the scheme.
Because he, hesitated a little bit, then he went out, and he's, calling for the ball. But T.J. Ward just ran right around.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if that was a Peterson error. Because one thing is that, I'll call him, he's one of the best runners in the NFL.
Yeah.
But when you say, the best running back in the NFL, wide receiver, he's good at catching the ball in the backfield. That's good. So he can receive, and he can, he's, of course, you know, a great runner. But the only thing with him, though, is that he doesn't pick up those blitzes so well. So a lot of times on third down, he's sitting. So I think it made a difference here. Bridgewater ended up fumbling, and he was 27 of 41, 269 yards and a touchdown.
Oh, right.
But that lost fumble was very costly for him.
Well, lost fumble, I mean, it ended the game, essentially. And yeah. I mean, the Broncos sacked Bridgewater 7 times. That's basically what I was getting at with the collapsed offensive line. We had Josh Zimmer of Draft Central Weekly on the show, who had spent time at Vikings camp, who had questioned that right side of the offensive line, and now that's starting to show up.
It's the Vikings did, I believe it was in preseason, they did lose their starting right tackle, mm-hmm. Phil Loadholtz.
Yes.
So huge guy, and he went down with a season-ending injury, and I think Bridgewater's feeling it. So
couldn't put it better. Which brings us to the study hall. Boom. Hey, Weasel, little reminder, we're creeping up.
All right, what do we got this week?
We're creeping up. So we all picked the Seahawks tonight, I believe.
Yeah,
it's not going to do any different than this. But break it down. What happened this week, Chris?
Well, me and you were both 9-5. Weasel was 7-7. So
whatever.
Right now, me and Weasel are tied 38-24. So he still goes first because he still has honors. And you are 2 games back with 36-26.
I'm creeping up.
I got to enjoy it while I can.
By the way, take heart, Weasel. Still not a losing record for the week.
Boom.
But I'm still creeping up. First game, Chris.
You got the Colts at the Texans.
Okay.
Anybody?
any status on Luck?
Right now, the
they're saying he's on track. They're on track to start.
Yes.
Well, I think the backup's even better than what the Texans have. So I will take the Colts.
He likes Matt Hasselbeck better than Ryan. I should be holding a croquet mallet or Brian Hoyer. Fair enough, Chris.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Colts too. You don't know where you're getting with the Texans offense here.
Here's the thing, guys. We all know how much Kyle likes J.J. Watt. Man crush, yada, yada, yada. J.J. Watt will get no less than 2 sacks in this game. Yet, the one thing that Texans refuse to do is have J.J. Watt throw the football. I have the Colts. Next game.
You got the Bears and the Chiefs.
Weasel.
Let's see. Bears do have Cutler back. So, Chiefs defense has been up and down. So, I will take the Bears.
Bears over Chiefs. Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to go Chiefs, and Lamar Houston's going to get back on the sack this week.
You mean Justin Houston?
Justin Houston, yeah.
Yeah, that would be a big deal for them, absolutely. Here's the thing. Now that the Bears have actually won a game, I think the thrill is gone. One thing I've noticed consistently is that the Chiefs do produce, albeit in quote-unquote garbage time. I'm not prepared to have faith in the Bears like Weasel does. No offense, but I'm creeping up. I got the Chiefs. Next.
Got the Seahawks at the Bengals.
Wow. Weasel.
First, when you hear it, it's like easy. We're like, oh,
but
Seahawks.
Then all of a sudden,
but
it's not.
The ginger.
Because we can't see what they're doing. Yeah, exactly. But we can't see what they're doing tonight. But the Seahawks are playing the Lions anyway. So.
All right. I'm going to base it on one thing. Who's the home team?
Oh, good point. Who is at home, Chris?
Well, right this second, it's the Bengals.
I will take the Bengals.
Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bengals, too, because I don't think the Seahawks secondary or defense is good without Dan Quinn there, so I'm going to go Bengals.
Yeah, I don't care about Dan Quinn. You know what I do care about? The overrated Russell Wilson. EJ Christian is texting me, harassing me, because he probably pulled something out of his butt in Monday Night Football against a mediocre Detroit Lions defense. That's right, EJ. I called you out on the carpet. I don't think he would do anything that prolific against the Bengals, and I hope for once he does, so I can see something out of Russell Wilson that just doesn't remind me that Cam Newton is far better. I have the Bengals for the very same reason Weasel does. There is no 12th man in Cincinnati. Who day? Nah, that doesn't even sound good. Yeah, forget the who day part.
Yeah.
Next.
Yeah, you get the Redskins or the Falcons.
Anybody?
Falcons.
Anybody?
Balanced offense.
Okay.
I get Falcons.
Moving on. That's how overrated the Falcons,
yeah, Falcons
are.
Next, you get the Jags at the Bucks.
Weasel.
So the Jags fired their kicker, right?
They did.
They did? Okay.
No, no, wait. The Jags did not. No.
Oh, okay.
I got confused because the Bucks did.
So I guess they're thinking about
there's
it.
So many of them.
So, I'm sure Blake Bortles will get him to the a game-winning touchdown, but or a game-winning field goal. And
or an opportunity for a game-winning
yes, field goal. An opportunity. But I will go for the Jags.
Chris.
I'm going to Jags, and Jags would be the best team in Florida after they knock off the Bucks. They already beat the Dolphins, so they'll be the best team in Florida.
No, that's nice of you to set the bar so low, but in this case, I have the Jags simply on the strength of the fact that Blake Bortles is not Jameis Winston. Next.
We got the Saints at the Eagles.
Weasel.
Kind of downfall for both teams at this point in season.
Yeah.
I guess if Breeze is starting, I would pick...
Which he is.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Saints.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, with him, this game's tough, I think. You don't know what's going on with it. I'm going to go Eagles just because you don't know what you're getting from the Saints either each week. You don't know what you're getting from either team each week. So I'm going to go Eagles.
Here's what I know I got. A team that let Drew Brees go 33 for 41 last week. That's a far better defense than the Eagles in the form of the Dallas Cowboys. What reason do I have to believe that the Saints will come out and be just as balanced and score more points because they'll have the football longer because Chip Kelly? I don't know how you pick the Eagles even as a Giants fan, Chris, on this one. But, hey, maybe I'll talk smack and look stupid next week. I got the Saints. Next.
You got the Browns at the Ravens.
Wow, this is legit.
Browns? The thing about this game is that one of the factors that you have to think about is that it's a division game.
Yes.
And the Browns, they've been actually putting up some points on the board and stuff. And
with not
the Ravens, I'm pretty sure that they should be out with Steve Smith Sr. And with four broken ribs, that's what I would think it anyways.
Yep.
And it's too bad for them that they don't have one... it's rookie wide receiver from UCF.
That would be Breshad Perriman.
Breshad Perriman, he's out, so.
But they do have another receiver from UCF in Kamar Aiken that has been doing a little bit of work.
But I will choose, actually, the Browns this game.
Interesting. Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to go Ravens, even without Steve Smith Sr. over there with the Ravens. I mean, they still got quite a few receivers there they can kind of rely on. They're young. They've been showing that they can do that. You also got Justin Forsett running the ball. So I'm going to go Ravens.
This is the awkward position that this football game puts me in. I have to choose between Joe Flacco and Josh McCown. And as hard as I've been on Joe Flacco on this show, I'm not going to pick Josh McCown over him. I, too, have the Ravens. Next.
Rams at the Packers.
Packers against?
You broke up.
Rams at the Packers.
Okay, Weasel.
Three-point Rams defense is doing a little better. Offensive-wise, I think it could get into like a... the Packers, I think, are going to jump up front, and I don't think the offense would be able to catch up. Interesting to see how Todd Gurley does, but a lot more consistency with the Packers.
Okay, he's got the Packers. Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to go Packers, too. The Rams offense is not that great. Packers defense is all right, but, I mean, you got Aaron Rodgers on the other team, so I got Packers.
I'm picking the Packers as well, but not because of Aaron Rodgers. I'm actually picking it because of the Packers' defense. Despite the fact that he talks smack on the wrong people and hits people out of bounds, Clay Matthews has been doing a very interesting thing and moving around to different positions within the linebacker court on the field, spending time at both middle and outside linebacker. Being said, yeah, I, because of that defense, I think they'll contain both Todd Gurley and Nick Foles. I have the Packers.
Next, Bills and Titans.
Bills and Titans. I guess Bills are... actually, it's a pretty good matchup between the quarterbacks. So, Mariota had his week off. So, I like the defense better for the Bills, so I got the Bills.
Chris.
Yeah, interesting matchup. The Bills have had the number one rushing offense and the number one against the run defense. It's too much for the Titans. I get the Bills.
I'm in the same boat there, too. The Titans don't have enough to stop that running game. I, too, have the Bills. Next.
You got the Cards at the Lions.
Weasel.
Cardinals. I think it's Bruce Arians is their head coach.
Very good.
I think he's going to be very mad. So, I think it's going to be a ticked off Cards team that's going to win.
Good luck, Coach Caldwell. Chris.
Hey, you're talking about with the pissed off coach. I'm looking at the Lions secondary. The Cards are just going to flourish on that. So I got the Cards.
I have no reason to have any faith at a pissed off Cardinals defense that will shut down Golden Tate and CJ, a.k.a. Megatron. Matt Stafford's going to have problems. Abdullah's not going to do his thing running the football. I just don't see it. I have the Cardinals just the same way as we unanimously called the Seahawks to win the game tonight. Next.
Patriots at the Cowboys.
Anybody?
Is it Patriots, Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah, Patriots.
Anybody? I mean, because Brandon Weeden, because Sean Lee, because Dez Bryant, because Lance Dunbar. There you go. Next.
You got the Broncos at the Raiders.
Division game.
Yes.
And Raiders can finally put up some points on the board with that offense, so. Broncos, I didn't hear it in the past couple years, but I think their defense is going to give fits for Carr. So I got the Broncos.
Chris.
Yeah, I got the Broncos too. I mean, the Raiders lost to the Bears for sake, so I got the Broncos.
Same reason Weasel has him. DC4 will not score on that Broncos defense. I have the Broncos. Next.
Sunday night, you got Niners for the Giants.
Weasel.
Let's see. Niners, Giants. I think Giants has got it.
Excellent analysis. Chris.
Yeah, the Giants are playing a little better offense, better football than the Niners, so I'm going Giants.
Look, I love the part where the Niners held the Packers to 17 points this week. I love the part where last year Eli Manning threw 5 interceptions to give the 49ers the win last time they played, but they don't score enough points. The Giants will find a way to look past no matter what Eli or anybody does. I, too, have the New York Football Giants. Next.
You got the Monday night Steelers-Chargers.
Weasel.
Even though it's going to be Vic at quarterback, I think they're you're going to be hearing the name Latavius Murray. So, Martavius Bryant, sorry.
Martavius Bryant.
Bryant, yes. So, he's back from a 4-game suspension. They still got Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. So, balanced offense. The quarterback, eh. So, but I will still take the Steelers.
Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to go Steelers right now because the Chargers, you don't know what you're getting out every week either. So I'm going to go Steelers, even with Michael Vick.
Another significant return based on a suspension. One, Antonio Gates should be showing up in this Week 5 matchup. And I still don't care. The Chargers are soft. The Steelers are not. I have the Steelers. So there you go. Your picks for this week. How many do we have different, Chris?
Looks like 3.
I'm creeping up.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, 3 games total difference. We have 2 different games with Weasel, and then you guys have 1 different game than me.
Alrighty then.
I'm creeping up. Anyways. For my man Stephen Weasel Hurley, you'll find him on Twitter at WeaselTheSOTG. For the local hero, Chris Rankin, you'll find him on Twitter at HydraulicUpright, UPRITE. And, of course, I am Kyle Nash, the student of the game. You'll find me on Twitter at TheSOTG. Check us out on NGSESports.com on Tuesday nights. For Wednesday mornings, I should say, I post the Matchup Mania, the week-long public service announcement to make sure that you check out all the best games of the week. Good time there. And, of course, go to the NGSC Sports YouTube page and check out the Sports Symposium. That's a good time all the way around. But, hey, good week, guys. What can I say? Looking out for week 5. Until next time, class dismissed.